know what I think the best, very best gift that parents can give to their kids is for those parents to love each other and not fight and hit each other and stuff in front of their kids. Well, this is stories and stuff. Sometimes stories and sometimes stuff. And I'm Joy Bubbles, your storyteller here in Minneapolis. Well, Nancy Lynn, who got me on the interview on ACB Radio, and we are good friends, she kind of started me to tell this story because she said she loves listening to stories and stuff, and I could tell a story about a cockroach and probably make it interesting. And frankly, that was a challenge that I couldn't overlook. So here it is. 1967 was a hard year for me. We lived back in Miami then, and that was a year that, well, one of many years, I guess, that our family was disrupted, but it just seemed to be quite strong around then. Daddy would hit Mother a lot and put her in the hospital and sometimes the emergency room and the police, and the time she charged Daddy with attempted murder and at the last minute dropped the charges. And she had lots of different boyfriends and stuff, and a lot of times she would be so busy flirting she'd forget our dinner and stuff. And, you know, it was a rough time. Well, to be fair, too, Daddy had his girlfriends, too. So I had my very best friend in 1967, though, for the whole year. Because sometimes I would be in my room, and it would be pretty scary. And for a month or two, I had this best friend that was the best friend in the whole year of 1967. It all started when I heard this little scratchy noise, you know, in the evening. And my birth mother happened to come over, and I said, "What's that little noise over there?" And she went over and, "Oh, my gosh, it's a great big old ugly cockroach. He's scratching the glue off that big envelope there." And Mother tried to get him, but it was kind of late in the evening, and the big bug got away. But me, I had found him comforting at night when things were quiet and I was lonely and scared and maybe listening to them over at their house fighting. We had two little separate houses, and they'd be fighting and breaking things and stuff. And my friend, I called him Mr. Pecking Bug, would be there and just keeping me company like a little angel. And I loved him, and he was real prompt. You know, in the evening, he would come out and do his little pecking and seemed to last quite a while. And unless there was maybe more than one or something, I don't know. But it was those little scraping noises, and I could count on it. And I grew to like him a lot. And then I grew to love him. And I realized he was my, for that time, my very, very best friend in the world, Mr. Pecking Bug. And he was there for me. And I remember about that time when I was wishing somebody would mention that it was my birthday. I was just waiting to see if they would. And Daddy was gone most of that day, but my birth mother never mentioned that. I thought, well, maybe she's just going to surprise me or something. But she got busy with a boyfriend and kind of forgot about it. And I wanted so bad for somebody, to just one person in the world, to sing happy birthday to me. And the pecking bug was there. And I even got a better idea. Just not around that time, there was answering machines that could actually play back your messages over the phone. So I left a message with some blank spaces in it. Like I'd say, you know, "Hi, how are you? How are you feeling tonight?" And then leave a blank space, and I would answer it later when I called and played back the message. And so I called back the answering machine and played back the message I had put on there. It was, of course, in my voice, and it said, "Hi, how's things going tonight?" And I said, "I just feel very, very sad." And right about that time, my voice from the machine that I had pre-recorded said, "Well, why are you feeling that way tonight?" I said, "Well, it's my birthday, and Oh, shouldn't that be a happy time? And said, nobody mentioned it, and I just wish somebody would sing happy birthday to me. And then my voice on the machine said, well, I'll sing happy birthday to me, to you. And really? Yeah, sure. And so it began singing from that answering machine. I think it was in Chicago or something like that, cross country. And happy birthday to you. You know, it sung back to me in my own voice. And I kind of sung along with it, you know. And it was between Mr. Peckingbug and my the answering machine singing happy birthday. Well, it wasn't long after that that Mother went to clean our room. We it was a time when that didn't happen too often, so it probably really needed cleaning. It was time, too, when we didn't have running hot water in that particular house we lived in, so it would be sometimes a month or so between baths. And, you know, I really felt good, actually, to take a bath, even at that age when I wasn't really, didn't used to all be all that interested in them, you know. But those kind of things. Well, she went over and cleaned the house, and I heard some banging over there. And she finally came back and said, I caught a big old ugly bug. I got him and killed him. Big old ugly thing with wings. We didn't just call them cockroaches in Florida. We called them palmetto bugs. And I was hoping and hoping and hoping it wasn't my friend that had gotten killed, maybe some other bug. And that night, I waited for him, and I said, he'll come. But I waited, and the time passed when he came, and he didn't come. And I said, well, maybe the room is just disarranged right now, and he'll be back. And then I got my hopes up. I said, I know he'll be back in just 3 days. That's all it takes. Three's a charm. Three's a charm. And I said that all day to myself in school and stuff. Three's a charm. The second day, and then the third day. And I knew he'd come. And I prayed, and you know what? He didn't come that night. And that's when I realized that I would never see my best friend again on this earth. And even though I, at that time, I thought boys weren't supposed to cry, I couldn't help it. Luckily, I had the ability to cry silently with just breathing. My sister can still remember how I used to cry silently with no noise, no kind of, it was like, you know, just the breathing and shaking and stuff. So I was crying silently because, you know, I knew if my birth mother heard me, she'd tell me to shut up and stuff. And I realized that he was gone. And I decided to whisper a funeral to him. And I remember saying, we come here not so much to cry for a death, which I am doing now, but to celebrate a friend. No greater love hath a cockroach than one that would lay down its life for a friend. Some angels look something like people and maybe have wings, but this angel looked a little different. On the outside, he looked like a cockroach. But he came to me in a time of need and gave me companionship and gave me love. And I loved him in return, even though it was a short time. I celebrate your life, Mr. Peckingbug. And now I know you're in a place where you can be comforted and be touched with little angel hands. And someday I'll be there too, loved and upheld and comforted with little angel hands. And we will meet, and I'll get to tell you in person how much I love you and how much your friendship means in this hard time. And I'll always remember Mr. Peckingbug. I'll always remember. Well, I listened to a talking book, Boy from the Basement. And that brought back a lot of stuff that I hadn't really ever talked about and before until just recently. And I was just really, really feeling a lot of anger and stuff over a lot of stuff that happened. And so Dawn, my mother in Australia, my adopted mother, sent over a therapist that works with me named Fiona. And we had a big marathon session. And at the end, as we were celebrating, telling the stories and getting anger out, because the more I tell it, the more distant it becomes, she played the song, a victory song that she played during the adoption ceremony that she helped orchestrate. She's a ritualist and kind of puts things together. And we played this song and held hands and swayed and celebrated the fact that I deserve to be loved and the fact that it starts with me being my own best friend. But you know what? I have now a lot of wonderful, wonderful best friends, and none of them are cockroaches. And also, people had told me when I was little that I'd never be able to get out on my own and live by myself. And you know, like people do stuff when they get 21, maybe they drink finally. When I got out on my own the first time, I celebrated by taking 4 baths in one day. And now I can take a bath anytime I want with running hot water and lots of luscious bubbles and stay in the tub as long as I want. You can't imagine just how good a good bath feels when you want to get clean. And I never have to be dirty and stinky again like I used to be in 1967. Well, let me just play you this record at the end here. You can stick around for it if you'd like. It's called Be Your Own Best Friend by Ray Stevens. And I'll push some buttons over here. And if I do them all right, you'll get to hear the song that Fiona played me at the adoption ceremony and again in our big therapy marathon a couple weeks ago.
It'll sneak up on you one day, and you finally realize there ain't no more games for you to play, and there's no place you can hide. Up against the wall, can't nobody hear you cry. You gotta help yourself, yourself, or else you might as well just lay down and die. Make a move, take a step, it might hurt, it might help, but it's your life, you're the boss. To the law.
Not only deserve to survive, but to thrive. And you can go from being a victim to being a victor over whatever has happened. You deserve the best. You deserve to be loved. And you are strong. Go in strength, my friend. Go in strength.
At the tone, please record a voice message.